You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
I'm delighted to welcome back to our microphones Raymond Stock. He is one of the country's preeminent authorities on a country that is very much on our minds at the moment, Egypt. He's lived there for many years, deeply knowledgeable about its political affairs, and very much imbued with a sense of its strategic importance. Raymond is today a Middle East Forum Shulman Ginsberg Fellow. He is working on a biography of Nobel Prize laureate Naguib Mahfouz and contributes mightily to the public's awareness of what's going on in this very important country, not least by his participation regularly with this program. Raymond, it's always good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thanks very much, Frank, for inviting me again.
Much of what we've been hearing lately out of Egypt involves the government's crackdown on the Muslim Brotherhood, including in recent days the latest round of court judgments against prominent Muslim Brotherhood operatives, including the spiritual leader, the supreme guide, Muhammad Badi. Death sentences have been handed out to well over 1,000 people who fall into this category. Some have been commuted to life sentences. Others may be in the future. What do you make of these sentences, and what does it tell us about the state of play there?
Well, these sentences, the trials, in fact, in which the sentences have come out of, are most unusual in Egypt, and they're unprecedented. And they're being run by a single judge, Saeed Youssef, down in Minya. Or I should say up in Minya, because south is up in Egypt. And he's also, it seems, from the latest reporting, functioning as his own court of appeal, because he upheld 37 of his own previous sentences. It was the first trial of 528 condemnations, 528 death sentences. A few weeks ago, and now there's the second one recently, a few days ago, which was 683, I believe, people condemned to death. The majority of these cases were people who were not present. They were these were trials in absentia for the vast majority of the defendants, and therefore that was sort of the official reason for why they were so quick. They were like within two sessions each. At least the first one was only two sessions, and the second one I'm not sure, but they're extremely quick, they're extremely peremptory, they're arbitrary in every appearance. They wouldn't stand up to judicial review, and they probably will not stand up to judicial review inside Egypt if they get beyond this particular judge. Now, normally, after there's been a case like this, if it's a civil court, rather not a military court, but a civilian court that tries people, this appears to be a civilian court, they would go to the Court of Cassation, you know, they would be an appeals court before it goes to the Supreme Constitutional Court for any other issues. And death sentences have to go to the Mufti of the Republic, who makes a determination, plus the president. And it appears that this person is acting, as I said, as his own appeals judge. And I don't know how that's even possible.
Yeah. Well, it sounds as though there are many hoops to go through, for sure, before any of these sentences are executed.
One point about the absentia, they cannot be upheld if they were done in absentia, unless there's a retrial. So the person has to be apprehended first, then retried. So these people will not be hanged as soon as they're caught, you know, in this situation.
Let me ask you, what you make of reports that the likely next president of the Republic of Egypt is going to be Field Marshal, I guess he is now, Sisi, and to the extent that he has in the past had been viewed as a sufficiently reliable pro-Islamist individual that the Muslim Brotherhood actually put him in charge of the military. They obviously miscalculated on that score. But there are reports, Raymond Stock, that he may well be prepared to reconcile with the Muslim Brotherhood at some point in the not-too-distant future. Do you find those reports credible? And if not, will he maintain the kind of crackdown that he's currently, seemingly at least, allowing to take place, if not responsible for?
Well, I think the only source for that report of Sisi willing to work with Hamas and intending to have a rapprochement of some sorts with the Muslim Brotherhood seems to be an Islamist politician being reported through the Fars news agency, which of course is Iran's news agency, and it's not credible to me. Honest, I mean, as a piece of reporting, the way it's sourced, does that mean it would never happen? It only means it could, in fact, be an interesting indication of something if this Islamist politician had a good had a good inside line with Sisi's thinking, because Sisi does have some Islamist past, and even though he's waging a war against the majority of the Islamist organizations now in operating in Egypt, he does have a sort of functional alliance, it seems, with the Anur party. So the Anur party. So I don't know if he has other connections. This person was not from the Anur party, but I really don't know.
I really don't want to credit it
on its face. But I would say that Sisi is a pragmatic character, and I think that he may ultimately decide that if he can't totally crush his enemies, he will, like every other president before him in Egypt, will make some sort of deal with them.
Yeah, modus vivendi. Raymond Stock is our guest. He is the Shulman Ginsberg Fellow at a very important organization based in Philadelphia, the Middle East Forum, an author and commentator of great renown on matters particularly involving Egypt. Raymond, let me ask you to sort of speculate a little bit, perhaps, about the effect that these sentences may be having, intended or otherwise, on the ability of Muslim Brotherhood operatives to come to the United States. As you know, the administration recently relaxed unilaterally, and I would argue extra-constitutionally, the prohibition on people coming into this country who have been associated with material support for terrorism, so as to say that as long as it's only been limited material support for terrorism, you can come on in. I was talking about this with Chris Farrell earlier in the program, but does this suggest to you that with these heavy sentences being handed down, that there will be that much more of a propensity on the part of the Obama administration to admit Muslim Brothers from Egypt, even some that have had some pretty unsavory pasts?
I fear that will likely be the case. One reason being the way that John Kerry, our Secretary of State, brought the issue up with Nabil Fahmy, his counterpart from Egypt, his foreign minister, in a recent meeting, in which there was a generally positive atmosphere, actually, between them. But, Kerry is one of the only, ironically, given his missteps in so many other areas, one of the only senior officials in the administration who really seems to understand the need to maintain the alliance with Egypt, as it had been. And so he's very sympathetic in many ways to the transition now, compared to with other administration officials. But he did raise this issue with the trials with Fahmy. And, of course, the Egyptians reacted with, this is our judicial system, it's independent, we can't meddle with it. But in terms of our policy, yes, the administration, I think, will look at these trials, unfortunately, as a sign that Egypt is about to exterminate all opposition.
And they must give safe haven to them so that they don't...
Give a safe haven, yes.
Yeah,
And they will not look at what sort of support these people really did offer as terrorists.
Yeah, and what a threat they will represent to us in turn. Raymond Stock, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you very much for joining us, for the work you're doing at the Middle East Forum and elsewhere. I hope you'll keep coming back to us as often as possible. These insights are tremendously valued. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.